Mooney has a bunch of documents he's going through now to see what he wants to show us.
Now, my reputation is pretty well shot to hell. I guess so. Maybe I deserved it. But we'll wait for God's ivory tower of justice to find out the truth, my truth, somebody else's truth, whatever. We'll wait to see what happens. But these are the kind of things that if we're ever going to get together and get an EDI set up and do this thing properly, you know, this type of thing, you know, doesn't bother me, but I thought it was kind of ridiculous. Because as a former member of the Intelligence Committee, instead of something like that being issued, I think I should have been called in. I think I should have been, you know, say, hey, what are you doing? You know, what are you saying? What's your basis? You know, so that type of thing, I think, was, this thing here, I find to be very, very upsetting to me when I first saw it. And this is a Duke here. You can have that copy if you want it. Hard to remember, 400-page briefing strip. Gentlemen, the briefing strip was sitting at my right hand when I testified, all 400 pages. Was turned over to the government. Apparently it's been classified because no senator will respond to my letters to return it. And I've been requesting it over and over again. But see, that's the kind of thing that it's done on all sides. We sit there and we chip at each other, we bang on each other. It's like if the POWs were between two tall hills and sitting there watching us shoot at each other. And the only thing they can say as the shells fly over, the nasty shells, is, oh my God, oh damn. You know, the object should not be the DIA or the NSA or the DOD or anybody else or Jerry Mooney. The object should be the POWs. And like George Bush said in a letter to Mr. Ross Perot, every avenue will be followed. Well, I've kind of felt like for the past 10 years, I'm not an avenue that's going to be followed by a presidential letter, but I'm a dark alley that nobody wants to go down. You know what I mean? But this type of stuff has done a pretty good job on me because the press has got a hold of it. And our press, U.S. press, is what I call pretty to the third power, pretty to look at, pretty well paid, and pretty damn incompetent. It's like the Lipham article on the EC-47Q. Bad journalism. Why didn't he call? You know, why didn't he call up instead of saying, I just totally discredited it in the Washington Post? I mean, if he's a journalist, if he's a professional, he should have checked not only with the family members, but myself as well. Where he got the story, I don't know, but it's that kind of third-party journalism which angers people on one side. And I'm a big boy. You can hit me all day long, but leave my family alone. And I want to make a final statement about that. This is what I was talking about before. These are not the original maps, but this is just something I put together at the request of a senator, I believe. I don't remember a congressman or a senator. Showing that correlation of tactics between Vietnam and stuff. That's just a general outlay of what the intelligence showed from one side of the world to the other side. And in both cases, you do have a command and control type of link. The one in the Russia to Bulgaria was mainline air defense, and what you had over in Southeast Asia was diplomatic and intelligence links. But they're very similar in nature when you compare them together. I gave you the report numbers, didn't I?
Which?
The tactics, the transfer tactics. BUZ-001-68. Working aid 6917. Their report's out. I took copies with me. They were back at NSA. They were in the POW files. Congress has that. I don't remember who requested it. This gentleman is the reconstruction of the China bound things. I'll let you catch up here, okay?
Jerry, are you saying that
the people were taken to both?
Saying the tactics were. See, MB is trilateral, it's a triad.
Right.
You got tactics, you got equipment.
Oh, so you're transposing.
I'm transposing
air stuff
that took over training
over Sophia. Transposing.
No, it was what happened is this happened over Hanoi, and this was practice in Warsaw. Warsaw Pact.
That's what I'm saying.
So
there's the training in Sofia, transposed to Hanoi, an actual
fact. Right. And this is just the general, scratch thing. This is not as detailed as the original maps were. and included the aircraft, altitude types, you know, and stuff like that. Because MB has that triad. It has tactics, it has personnel, and it has equipment. This is a general, it's pretty damn close, of the overlay of the maps that we had set up. It's not as good because it's just small copies of China Bound. And with that, we're packages explaining each one. Now, if you have a small piece of paper, I've already told you about the CCF3, I'll write down, if it's all right, because it might still be very sensitive. Do you want it?
What?
It's just the word. It's just one word. It's pretty damn sensitive. It was when I had control over mission management.
I'll write it down. Let me see.
See, for CB, we had CCF3 fighters that we were watching, generation. And we also had this. This was Quantum Leap now, okay? That's the two we were interested in. I wouldn't say that out loud because it may be very highly classified.
Is this M?
Yeah. So you got an M, U, D, N, I.
Okay.
That was the other one we were most very, very, very interested in, and which was discussed with the CIA and Mr. Michalski and I. And in the call hall, I said we jacked up the national requirements on the Olympic game. That was part of it with relation to the CBA. This particular one is that it always confused me why people said Laos was a bad pole. The command and control in Laos was outstanding by the North Vietnamese. This is an actual map from an NSA Basin Daily Summary. They also issued the hard copy. This has been declassified. The map was, the writing on this is mine. With that type of command and control, how, and our ability to intercept all of it, how can Laos be a dark hole? We also used those maps, I might add, even though we weren't concerned on the Who to Ask list in Laos, I assumed and had discussions with the Laos branch that they were doing something similar by Binh Chong. In other words, an overlay of losses to the command and control systems and negotiators could, you know, directly asked what was, you know, these people should know by command and control structures. So I think the Laos side was doing the same thing. But with that type of command and control structure, each one of those had a low VHF link. They also had a Manual Morse link back to MR559. And then you had the interplay between the infantry divisions, the air defense divisions, and the Binh Chongs. So for Laos to be a black hole, I don't understand how. Not when you have one whole aircraft like the Comfy Gator dedicated to it 16 hours a day. And so damn busy that, you know, all those operators are running two taping devices at one time. So how can Laos be a black hole? But that's one of the earlier stories. And I think it's something, again, that should be brought up on the table. And when I was talking about EEIs, how to settle this thing, a disposition of forces overlay would give you a very powerful negotiating tool to talk to the Vietnamese, saying, look, if you had command and control at this Binh Chong or at this division or at this regiment, damn it, we know how your command and control work. We can give you examples of it. Now, what about Captain John Doe? We know that that Binh Chong, we know that that division, we know that whatever has details on it. And if they get snotty, pull out the details and shove it down their throat. I hope you're getting the impression that we were really on top of this issue under the direction of Colonel Kennedy and Marv Connors' involvement. I mean, we were really, really on top of it. Again, we were one agency. We did have input on all source intelligence, but not to the degree that DIA had. Not to the degree that maybe other agencies had. I could call down to DIA and I could say, I need a photo readout on something. I couldn't call down to NRO and say, hey, I need a satellite picture or something. I would never get a photograph. What I'd get is a readout. If it was an ELINT readout, it would be by CEP. In other words, they would say that this radar was within 5 miles of this point or 6 miles of this point. If it was photo, I would get a worded description, either by phone or I would get a note. We were into it very deeply, gentlemen, but we were in nowhere as deep as an agency such DIA could get into. I mean, even though we got a lot of clarity, like the B-3 front report. Now, look at this command and control analysis. How can it be a dark hole? Now, that's a declassified document. That report I saw after it was repaired. In fact, I had some input. And collateral was used and captured documents were used. They were sent to NSA. NSA had this stuff.
Where's this map from?
That's from an NSA daily summary report. They're floating all over the community. This is why I say there's some serious problems if we all continue along the same track, because 10 years ago, the family members and some of these advocacy groups, you know, were just whistling in the dark. But now with the declassification process, which I warned Congress about, I warned them, you're going to get people who are going to become instant analysts. You know, I went from a 1 level to a 3 level to a 5 level to a 7 level to a 9 level, and that took multiple assignments, many years, and working with many experts who had went through the same process. And what we risked is a chance of people coming up and saying, gee, I got me a DASM map, or I got this, or I got this message. They don't have database. And all of a sudden they become experts, and it makes your job all the more difficult. All the more difficult. Because you're answering questions more than you're giving answers.
Jerry, can I see that China bomb map?
Yes, sir. Our map was much more detailed because it was on a 1 to 250 mm-hmm. you know, WAC chart. And also it had many attachments, you know, of notes of what each area meant. And then we had 3x5 cards that if we gave a briefing on it to somebody, like if DIA came down or something, we could just put a little map hook and put it right up by the area to explain what the different colors meant. I've tried to reproduce these as best that I can. But I don't, and the originals were all with that stuff in the file. So now again, on this one here, that type of command and control and this B3 front report, I'd get a hold of it because it's very interesting. You see how collateral was used. You see how captured documents were used. But I mean, that's outstanding command and control. So how can it be a black hole? I think here's some of the, I got some Joint Task Force Russia meetings too. I'm sure, I hope I brought that one to General Wall. I'm sure I did, but we'll see what we got here next. If I start from the bottom. This is based on a memo between Mr. Vade and Mr. Palizio in the Senate talking about the Malcarner's deposition. This is a conversation that took place. So you'll see some quotes in there from the Malcarner's deposition. So you have a general idea of what's in it. One, you can have this copy. Yes, you can have this copy. Okay. We have two copies. Is it the same thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. There's some stuff out here, gentlemen. I'm not trying to hide something for you, but it's a personal thing I'd like to cross out. Just some snotty talk. It's nobody's business, and it's not mine. I'll appreciate it. Here's another thing with the I think this is also with the Mild Karmas thing. So I'll give you a general idea of what is in his thing. And the question that I have, I was very angry when I saw this, is because why wasn't he called to testify? Why weren't all these NSA people who were deposed called to testify? Or why weren't they directed to get with you people? See, when I was down at NSA, and your director called down to NSA and wanted to meet with me at that time, that was blocked by the Congress, not by the Senate Select Committee representative.
Who is this? Who is this? I'm here giving the answers to these questions.
That's Mr. Connors. Martha. It's Mr. Connors. I don't have an extra copy of that. Sorry. General Vladimir Ambromov, here is, I believe, a Joint Task Force Russia interview.
What is this from?
This is from that big deposition.
This is from, okay.
These are quotes out of the deposition, Mr. Connor's deposition. When the Soviets first started answering questions about Moscow bound, they were just closed-lipped, and gradually, because time is always on the side of truth, gradually that is starting to change. As you can see, evidenced by this particular interview, I believe it's from Joint Task Force Russia. Some of the highlights I got highlighted on the next page, which I found to be interesting. Okay, I'm trying to have some semblance of order here, but. Here's an interview with Mr. Bolusikov, Mr. Kasparchik, and General Retired. Shove it up your chinko nose, I guess. I assume this is by Joint Task Force Russia. And again, this is part of the tactics, part of the MB Triad. And in this particular one, it says the Soviets had a small analytic team in Hanoi dedicated to exploiting all information learned from ongoing air defense operations. The Soviets were closed-mouthed, but now as time passes, the noise becomes a little louder. Time passes. I found this to be interesting, especially since this is another confirmation along with the BUZ report about one of the triad legs going after our tactics.
And what is this for?
I believe it's a Joint Task Force Russia interview of the Soviet generals. Now, I don't know if you gentlemen have seen this, seen these data, but they're all declassified, jarred in the archives. Here's a memo from signed by General Wall. Again, where I said information was missing, and I was reamed over the polls. We have everything. Now, in this memo, he's saying NSA initiated a thorough review of the relevant holdings and intermittent reports pertaining to POWs. Gentlemen, we wasted 7 years. I should have been brought in. I should have been able to tell my story, put out my performance prices and say you don't have it all. But now you're starting to get the piecemeal, and here's a memo where General Wall is saying that, yes, we are getting the piecemeal. It's starting to flow in after a new review. I try to hold back a touch of anger sometimes, but I mean, you can understand that I'm a little upset at some areas. Well, I got tons of this stuff. I don't know where half of it comes from. It comes in the mail. Some of it comes from people I know who work in the archives looking for this data. See, again, he's talking about inaccurate data. Oh, we had checks and counterchecks against this. And we had extremely total databases to get dummy control. We had extreme databases to check out if something was exaggerated. We didn't use that term. We used emulation and other terms. So if we get on the same terminology base, the intelligence terminology base, and we start looking at these records in total, I think we can come up with a much clearer story and get the analytic process, you know, going in its proper directions. I'm sure these documents you can get from Senate Select Committee. I mean, if private citizens can walk in and get them, I see no reason why agents of the Department of Government can't, you know, go in and get them. This one, the family members went over the roof on. band members and they saw this. I don't know how they got it, but if you look at the second page, you can see why they are flipped. I mean, literally, totally flipped.
Who is this from?
This is Tom Lang, is the Senate investigator. See, it's from Tom. Mr. Covino was the chief counsel. See, when after I testified, he took my military records, got the names of individuals, and went down and interviewed everybody who had signed my performance appraisals, or most of them, and some he selected for deposition. Now, these are his memos going from the investigator, who was assigned to me because he had second clearance, to the chief counsel. The second page, it's got family members in an uproar. Again, putting additional pressure on you where you cannot do your job, rather than trying to circle the wagons and, well, I don't know that, so I better not say it. Gentlemen, to show that I was sincere, that, you know, I want to get this thing on track and get out of it, I insisted on signing a statement when I left NSA for me to get out of it. The statement was prepared by security officials, but after the Senate committee gave me the shaft, I was pretty angry. But here is what I agreed to sign. This will show you that I'm sincere. If this thing gets on track, I am gone.
Going a little slow, because you get to read all this.
That's fine. You know, that's fine. You know, take your time, gentlemen, because I think you'll start seeing some correlation about what I've talked about the last day or so, and some of these things that were conducted by the Senate, you know, Select Committee, and some of the other documents. And I think you can also possibly see that you have a real developing public relations problem, coming to be with the declassified documents. And I want to repeat, I warned Congress that this would happen. Which one does that mean? I want to show you my intent. That when I got done with the NSA, their chief counsel, their DDO and stuff, I says, now look at it. The job is done right. I want some protection. Give me something to sign and I'm out of here. You do your job. This is what was drafted in NSA. I want you to see this to show that, hey, if the thing gets on track, money's gone. My obligation out here, Colonel Kennedy's taps, the job is done, and I believe my desk. But that's the kind of agreement that later on I got the shaft in the Senate Select Committee, which angered me. I did this in very good faith, with full honesty. And I turn around and leave, and I call one NSA witness and simply patted me on the head and told me to go home. But that shows the sincerity that I had, if the job would have been done. You can have that. This is the Tom Lang, the Senate investigator with the second clearances, to Mr. Cadena. This is the...
Let me see that other part. That stuff we already got one over.
Yeah, one over.
Let me see it. There were one or two things, Mary, so deep in the next year that we did.
Oh, you've been putting them down here, I think.
Didn't you? No, I got this down here.
Yeah, there's one more.
I gave you one that was a dupe.
Right.
Of something there. Okay, that's fine. This is the results of the NSA meeting during 9 and 11 March. Mrs. Renee and I went down there, and the DDO for NSA brought in his special analyst, and they had recalled one, I don't remember his name, who was a GDRS expert, and I sat there for a day and a half and briefed them. They asked questions. I brought maps with me which showed the capabilities of the science part of SIGIN so that they would understand where I was coming from. I turned those maps over to them. I turned several maps, and also I turned the briefing strip over to them. And that's from Cadena, from Lang, the Senate investigator, to Cadena, the head counsel of the Senate Select Committee. find this stuff a little interesting? Beginning to realize that in the hands of family members and POW advocates and British journalism, and there's a Bulgarian and an Italian book writer out there now preparing a book. They were just in the buildings passing through, and they have all kinds of tapes by Soviets making statements on POWs. I hope you gentlemen realize I'm sharing this with you. I could very easily have sat and waited until I got before whatever I'm going to be out there for and bombshell their stuff out. So I hope this shows that, you know, I'm sincere about what I'm talking about. I hope you don't use it in the context of nail my ass to the wall again. But I hope we can have some, like I told, you know, Mr. Lang, Mr. McCain, I'd like to see some rapport where it can be held in a professional, honest way and get this up to a level where we get the job done and we get on with our lives. The next one, if you recall, I talked about the missing information that wasn't worked. Has he seen this one? You know, it wasn't until 1970 until Mr. Chung and Mr. Burgess said, hey, this stuff's going to be worked. The AAA was ignored all those years. Remember when I talked about that? And I showed my performance appraisal idle thing. Well, this is, Mr. Semich is one of the people we were fighting. This is the interview of Mr. Semich. And if you notice that Songbird Packrep in here did not come on until 1970 when the big battle occurred. Can you imagine for 5 years our pilots flying without a special SIGINT recording system? It wasn't until Mr. Burgess and Mr. Chan realized what was in the text of the messages. And now Mr. Semich is taking credit for in 1970 providing protection to our pilots. In 1970? That's why I use the term BIA, Betrayed in Action. What really upsets me is all the formerly work that Colonel Kennedy did. Then amateurs got involved and screwed it all up. I mean, he was going all the way back to 1962 to try to prevent these things from happening. And then they happened. All this silence and nothing on the tape. People are going to think you're sleeping. You make get your pay docked. But I assure who's ever going to listen to the tape that they are busy reading and busy working or earning their pay. This particular document you might find interesting. Takes some good slams at me, both honest. It's part of the Mr. Lang's report in preparation for the hearings.
Could you say this actually was, should have been Burgess and who?
Burgess and Chun are the ones who forced the issue, CHUN, forced the issue, and we finally started getting this street out, stuff on the street. And this is just a confirmation as to what my APRs say and what's in affidavits and stuff. It wasn't until 1970 that the Songbird. I mean, what a disgrace. How would you like to have been a pilot in 68? No, there's no SIGINT protection. That's what I mean about the Intelligence Covenant. I mean, you know, we're supposed to be there as the invisible co-pilot behind every soldier, you know, with every sailor to make sure they're not wasted. And that's what the Intelligence Covenant out of Korea from the Korean analyst covered. We failed. I mean, when you don't have a special reporting system for lost pilots, you failed. When you don't have a system of analysis for the source of information, AAA, which shoots down 62% of the aircraft, until the same time period, because the Burgess and John were in so much hell, I mean, we failed. And when you're missing that intelligence from that period of time, how can you, with full confidence, and fulfill the IUCP and say this man is dead or this man is alive, when you don't have the total package? See where I'm coming from? And that's the thing that's been bugging me. I mean, it's and some mistakes, yes, but I think it's a time. And like I said yesterday, think of a valuable training aid that work would be turned into a train analyst instead of some Mickey Mouse South American country. They'd be working with real traffic. They'd be showed how to do pile work and examine dummy control traffic. How to set up a database system so you can tell the difference between emulation and tactical operations. I mean, if you took the package from Vietnam and made a training program out of it, the next time you went into war, you'd have prepared people. Totally prepared people. Because they'd already been through a war, a real war on paper, not a fictitious one. They would know how to set up databases. They would know what to look for. They would know that survey teams were used in the past. So we'd be aware of looking for this. Is there a Soviet connection? They know about Quantum Leap. They know about the national security interest between Quantum Leap. And if it's not a POW or a defector, then the FBI should be notified. Maybe we have a mole or a leak in Guangdong or any other corporation. You see the type of training aid this thing, the Vietnam War, could turn into? I mean, it could turn into a training aid where you could have, instead of taking 20 years for somebody to become a 9 level and really expert with all these assignments, you could do it in probably a year. You could tactically train people in a year as to what to look for and how to set up database systems and how to do analysis and how to correlate. Because you already have a real war to work with, not something made up in a back room. I mean, it would be invaluable training if somebody went that route. I mean, absolutely invaluable. Because technology changes in war. The command and control purposes and reasons and everything else. I mean, I don't think you've read that one, have you?
No, I haven't. No.
See, when I was out there in 86, some officer where I was staying, an Air Force major, come up to me. And I had the knowledge of the hearing rooms. And he said, you know what these hearings are doing to the national security, what it's costing national security? And I just looked in the face and I said, sure. I says, the cost of national security to most of you people are the tanks, the planes, and all this stuff. I says, those are just tools. If you want to see the real cost of national security, you just go down and take a slow walk around the National Cemetery. That's the real cost, right there.
Who is this done by, Jerry?
Oh.
Yeah,
this is Senate Select Committee. This is like one of their meetings. It's kind of a working paper that they put together.
Title the role of NSA.
Here's another one from Tom Lang. This is, you know, going up for meetings that these are based on. You know, this comes out of a meeting, what they're going to do. This is going to his boss, Mr. Kidina. You might find this one interesting.
Said you only have one copy of these, so that's why we can't get them unless we can find a.
Yes, I understand.
Well, no, this is for the tape.
Oh, for the tape.
If they're wondering why we didn't bring all these documents back.
Uh-huh.
Unless we can find a Xeroxer that we can use around here, but this is quite a hefty stack.
And like I say, all these are immediately available to you. You just got to go to the Senate. I mean, they're documents that have been released. But I mean, if other people can get them, send them to me. I don't see why a government office can't have them. Okay,
the closing paragraph of this one, memorandum of both of Dean and Tom Lang, basically states, in order to prevent VA from fixing the significant problem in the next few days and weeks, we need to insist on the fulfillment of the second paragraph of the attached letter which was sent. I've also attached there, in parentheses, an adequate response to this request. Do you have copies of those?
No, sir, I don't. I sure don't. You find that interesting, huh? I thought you might.
I find it awfully slanted and biased. If you want my honest opinion, that's fine. And then Mr. Lang is sharpening his knife on this.
You seen this one yet? Yeah, you've seen this one.
Yeah,
this one I have no comment on, but it's just a sample of a piece of ammunition in the wrong hands.
Of what?
A sample of a piece of ammunition in the wrong hands politically could do some serious damage to high-ranking individuals. I'll leave you to decide who that might be. I think there's only two copies of that available. I have one and somebody else has one. And it could be used to damage somebody very significantly, and I don't play that kind of game. I'll let you decide what might apply to. I don't play the dirty game. I would like to, but I don't. This is more of this beetroot front stuff that you can look at to see that how NSA by no way is sole source. They may be in their recording, but you know, I've written reports, gentlemen, where I've referenced the Jane manuals. I've referenced operational data, I've referenced unit, I've referenced photo, I've referenced collateral, I've referenced this file material. But this is a general idea of that beetroot front report. It's just a study, you know, but I mean, the point of it is that, you know, pretty much all source analysis. Thank you.
I consider it a shame in many cases, gentlemen, that a lot of the in-depth studies that were done by NSA, or that may be done by other agencies or departments or even sections with NSA, it's really a tragedy that this stuff isn't disseminated where it gets full correlation efforts. I think that's one of the problems and one of the things we addressed in the 1976 intelligence fix-up. It's nice for an office or an agency or a branch or a department or a group to have a nice little report, but if it doesn't go anywhere for further correlation and use, what use is it? Exactly what use is it? It's good briefing, I mean, that's it. These are two documents, if you notice. I mean, it looks pretty good. Oh, okay, go ahead. That is just a study. That's what that is.
Yeah, you've already said that.
That's just a study to show that we use all source information. We use all source information. As per their evidence that we use all source information, there's a declassified Defense Intelligence, Department of Defense Intelligence Information Report. If you know, that deals with interrogation, urban interrogation. If you notice who's on the address list, this is the kind of stuff that would go into our CRIF files and I was working with. Durnsa receives this information. I bring this up to point out that the single source claims are not accurate. This is a follow-up document. I don't have the whole thing, but I just use it to make one point. If you notice that this is another collateral source information, look who the address is, JSBC. Even at JSBC, we're receiving all source information. So we did use all source. Colonel Kennedy wouldn't have it any other way. Be it open source, be it a James manual, and be it an interrogation document, and we were receiving the data. It was being sent to us either officially, in most cases, or by optional. You can see who that is addressed to, JSBC. So we were receiving it, so the sole source concept, that would go into CREP files. Now, when this was received, the appropriate office would have it for their evaluation. The correlation is necessary, and the rest of the stuff would go into what is called a CREP file.
Okay, Jerry, this is the end.
I got to put some money in here. I got a ticket.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Did you really?
I was 1 minute late. She was making out the ticket.
Oh, man. We have to, too, so this is a good place to take a break.
We don't have much more to do.
Okay, before we get to the rest of the documents, Jerry wanted us to remind him to talk about Charlie Stout.
Charlie Stout, I knew for years in service. He was an outstanding analyst. You wouldn't find a better surveillance and warning supervisor. He had that unique ability to be able to make a decision 99.9 times out of 100.
Yeah.
I knew him in NSA on two occasions, NKP, Italy, JSBC. He was just an outstanding analyst. And the one quality that he had that impressed most people, he was totally loyal to the system. Well, in 1974, I was the S&W down at NKP, and he was the NSA rep to the generals at USAG. His job essentially was to make sure that USAG generals were informed. He would come down to our small unit 6908 and get briefing items. He'd also pick up items of importance that he'd want to make sure the generals had, you know, that weren't reports, but maybe local internal briefings. He also picked up the mail at the comm center for the generals. It was one of his jobs. He would scan it and read it before the generals would read certain mail, not all mail, but certain mail, to see if there was any way there could be an NSA or SIGINT input to whatever questions or positions were being presented to the generals at USAG. On this one occasion, Charlie Stout came down to the 6908, and he said he had this envelope, and he waved it in my face, and he said, "They're going to abandon the men." I says, "Charlie, what do you mean?" He says, "They're going to abandon the men." He says, "I just read this, and they're going to abandon the men." I says, "Well, what is it?" And he says, "No, that's all you'd say is they're going to abandon the men." Then he took the envelope, and he says, "Nobody's going to get this." Went out to the burn barrel and burned. Well, I never knew what Charlie was talking about.